Saved, saved, saved by His love divine. Saved eternally. We can sing that and hallelujah and shout and think about heaven, can't we? But you see, the thing about it is we're not to heaven yet. We got to live here on earth. Now, Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. You don't need to turn there. He says that you may know what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ. How many of us tonight really know the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of Jesus Christ? I would hate to take a raising of hands tonight and us be honest with the Lord. You see, the Lord looks on our heart, and He knows our heart. You see, there's more to this also. Because Jesus, over in chapter 5 of the book of Luke, now you can kind of turn there if you will, but don't be reading. Luke chapter 5, because there Jesus said, launch out into the deep. I'm afraid there are too many shallow water Christians trying to make their road through this earth in the day and time which we live. Chapter 5 of Luke will give us some insight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I received new insight just this afternoon. Now, some of you all are going to say, when I get to that insight, you're going to say, well, I already knew that. Well, praise the Lord. Chapter 5 of Luke says, are you there? Say, if you're there, say amen. Do not say, oh me. Dan says, oh me. Amen. And it came to pass. I like the word of God when it says it came to pass. Because you know, that tells me that it was already planned by God. And it came to pass on a certain day around a certain lake that this event took place. As the people pressed upon Him, that is Jesus, to hear the Word of God, wouldn't it be wonderful today if we had people just pressing to get into the house of God to hear the Word of God? I'm afraid, dear ones, the reason we don't have a lot of people pressing to get into the house of God is because a lot of so-called Christians have brought a great reproach on the house of God. So they say, what is there any need for me to go? But these people were pressing to hear the Word of God. What a blessing. What a blessing to see people pressing to hear the Word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing. Notice the next word. Their nets. They were washing their nets. And Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now certainly, it was God's plan to teach the people. That's why Jesus was in the ministry, was to teach the gospel to the people. But that's just one part of this entire account. Excuse me. Let me come back here. And he sat and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That is, for a haul, for many fish, for the big catch. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down. What is the next word? You notice it's not we will let down our net. We're going to let down the net. There's a difference, dear ones, in our nets and his net. You say it was the same net. That's exactly right. It was the same net. But you see, the net that we're talking about here is the net that was unctioned by Jesus Christ himself. And he says, nevertheless, Simon says, at thy word, we will let down, I beg your pardon, and launch out into the deep and let down thy nets for the draught. And Peter answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I want you to listen to this. If you don't have your Bibles, I want you to listen real carefully. If you have your Bibles, I want you to see what we're reading. I want you to notice that one ship went out. One ship came back. But it took two ships to handle the catch. You see, Liberty Fellowship is planning. I know because Brother Dan has already told me that you're planning a spring campaign. The thing about it is, dear ones, are we planning that spring campaign using our nets? Or are we planning the spring campaign using the net that is anointed by Jesus Christ? There is a difference there, you know. Now I want you to see something else. I want you to see that Simon had a possession. This was his ship. But he had devoted it, or he was devoting it to Jesus Christ. What an honor it is to have to possess something and to use it for the cause of the Master. I know I'm talking to about maybe half, maybe less than half of the folk that were here this morning. I understand that, and you are the faithful ones on a Sunday night. And I know that Dan appreciates you coming. So you're going to catch it all. Now the thing about catching it all, you just pass it on down to the rest of the folk that aren't here tonight. But I want you to see that Simon possessed the ship. But Simon said to Jesus Christ, I will devote my possession to the Master's use. Are you willing tonight? Whatever you do for Jesus Christ, are you willing to devote your possession to Jesus Christ? I mean, when we talk about devoting, we're talking about giving our all to the Lord. We can sing about being saved, saved, saved. But dear ones, until we see the master plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is to get the gospel out, to, in this case, to Houston Avenue and to Oakland Avenue and this neighborhood, until we see that sin is ruining this neighborhood and your neighborhood, and give and devote our possessions. Well, what are you talking about possessions? Well, it may be talents. It may be materialistic possessions. You're waiting for me to say money. I know that. And I'll just say it. Yes, devote our money. It belongs to God. I'm a 10% at least tither. I believe in 10% tithing. And then all over that is an offering for the glory of Almighty God. But we need to also devote the possession of time that Jesus Christ and God has allowed us to have. He has just given us time on loan. We ought to be willing to devote that to Him. If we are withholding, dear ones, if we are withholding anything that is our possession and we're withholding it from the cause of Jesus Christ, then we are robbers of God and robbers of the joy of our very soul. We need to be willing to devote our possession. Now I want you to see something here. When Jesus asked us to devote ourselves, then most often He gives a commission to go along with that. In verse 4, He says to Simon, He says, launch out into the deep. Oh, well, you say, well, now, preacher, I've heard this message preached from this text before, but you haven't heard yet, I don't believe, what Jesus showed to me this afternoon. I'm going to wait till last to give you that. He says, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. You see, the thing about it is, we Christians this day and time, we are satisfied with trying to fish in the shallows of the water of the world rather than getting out into the deep. We are willing to fish in the shallows, and when we fret our weaknesses, rather than doing that, we ought to certainly launch out into the deep to where the strength of Almighty God is. We don't even know, this preacher included, we don't even know a smidgen of the strength of Almighty God, because we have never sold ourselves out to Him. We are too willing to fish in the shallows of our own weakness rather than launching out into His strength. We are too willing to work on our own opinion of our unworthiness. You say, have you ever used that excuse before? Well, I'm just not worthy to do this job or to do this job. I'm not worthy to be a Sunday school teacher. I'm not worthy to teach on a Wednesday night when Brother Dan is maybe sick or something like that. The thing about it is, we are fretting over our unworthiness when we ought to be launching out into the deep of His infinite love. His infinite love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of God? You see, Jesus Christ loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His life for us. And the thing about it is, tribulation can't separate you from that love. Don't take too quickly to the fact or to the excuse of, well, I'm unworthy. If you are a child of God, dear ones, I don't mean to be pointing my finger, I'll just do that. If we are children of God, then we are not unworthy. Hallelujah. Don't look at me like a calf looking through a new gate. If we are children of God, then we are not unworthy. We have the love of God in us through and by the Holy Spirit of God. But we are too willing to stay in the shallows of our own little feelings rather than launching out into the deep of the faithfulness of Almighty God. Have you ever found Him unfaithful? Absolutely not. He is faithful, faithful, faithful. Have you ever found yourself unfaithful? Absolutely so. Absolutely so. But we want to hang around in the shallows. Let me just give you something. Psalms 107 says, they that go down to the sea in ships. Now, it was a big thing for those Jews that went out to sea to do commercial business or for whatever reason. Because you see, the Mediterranean Sea is such a large area. And in the time when David wrote this psalm, it was a big thing for sailors or for men to get on a ship and go out into this big body of water. But let me just tell you something, what the psalmist says. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord. Do you want to see the works of the Lord? Do you want to see your loved ones saved? Do you want to see your neighbors saved? Do you want to see your fellow workers saved? Dear ones, we need to get out into the deep. We need to get out of the shallows of our own little fretting ways and the shallows of our weaknesses and launch out into the deep, and there we will see the mighty works of the Lord and His wonders we will see in the deep. Launch out, Jesus said to Peter. Launch out into the deep. Well, I want you to see something here. I want you to see Peter's confession. Confession is good for the soul, would you say? Absolutely, especially when we... Now, I don't know about when I'm confessing to my little wife. I don't think that's too good for my soul. Sometimes it ain't good for my head. But it is wonderful for us to confess to the Lord. Peter said in verse 5, he says, Master, we have toiled all night. And Master, you know, I'm adding this, you know that we are commercial fishermen. You know that we know our business. We know when to go out and when to come in. We know when the fish are biting and when the fish aren't biting. You know, and we toiled all night long. And guess what, Master? We came in with a big zero. He says, we toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But remember, we're talking about his confession. He says, we have taken nothing. I'm going to slow down right there because the thing about it is, my labor so many times has been a failure. It has been fruitless. If we are going to be fruitful, then we must attach ourselves. If we're going to be successful, then we first must acknowledge our weakness. That's not easy to do, you see. Whether we're confessing to the Lord in our closet or in the nighttime in silence, that's not easy to do, to confess that, hey, I don't really know what I'm doing. Peter says, I confess we have caught nothing. What God wants us to do, dear ones, all of us, is to tell Him everything that's in our heart. Because you see, He knows our heart. He knows what is on our mind and in our heart. But we need to be like Peter and confess that we lack fruit in our life. My brother Dan has brother Don here tonight, and I don't see him. Don Williams is not here tonight. Thanks to Don Williams probably pruning Dan's apple trees, he may have more apples this year than he had last year. But now, you know, there have been times when his apples have really bore, but this last year they didn't, and come to find out that the master of the apple trees hadn't sprayed like he's supposed to spray. If you don't spray like you're supposed to spray, then you're not going to get the crop. If we don't do everything that we're supposed to do, confess our lack of fruit, and then when the blessings do come, and we've confessed, and guess who gets the glory? Not me. Him. Him, and that's where it's worthy. Saved, saved, saved by His grace divine. But are we launching out? Are we willing to launch out into the deep? The thing about it is, He can change our weeping spirits into dancing. Psalms 30 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. You see, the thing about it is, these old boys were over there cleaning their nets. And they were, I no doubt in my mind, they were just whining around. Boy, we didn't catch anything last night, did we? When they were cleaning, what were they cleaning off their nets? They were cleaning the dirt and the filth off of their nets that had been dragging along the bottom of the lake without any fish. Now I'm going to get into the insight that I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this afternoon. Last night, when Simon and his brothers and Peter and Andrew and James and John and Zebedee, and when they were all out there fishing, Jesus knew they were out there fishing, and Jesus had something greater to show them. You see, so He told, when they would drop their net over on this side of the ship, now this is not King James Version, this is what the Spirit of God revealed to me today. When they threw their net over here, Jesus told the fish, you get over there. Oh, hallelujah. He said, because I have got a lesson for these boys. Oh, well, let's drop this net over on this side of the ship. Hey, fish, get over on the other side of the ship. They couldn't catch a thing. Why was that? Because they were toiling under their own power. And they but Peter had confessed. We need to launch out into the deep. Now I want you to see more to this. Verse 5. So he says, we've toiled all night. That's his confession. And we've taken nothing. Hey, we are master fishermen. And we know to fish at night. But I got to confess to you, Jesus, we haven't caught a thing. There's a key word in there. Can you see it? Hot dog, thank you, little sister. Nevertheless. See, when we say nevertheless to the Lord, that's taking our weakness and putting it behind us, you see. Nevertheless, at thy word. At thy word, he says, I will let down the net, the anointed net. Because you see, now I'm going to get ahead of us. Because you see, Jesus, this time, he's still talking to the fish. Oh yeah, he's still talking to the glory. He's still talking to the fish because he has a lesson to tell these boys. It's not about catching fish. It's not about catching fish at all. You see, Jesus, if he'd wanted the fish in the ship, all he had to do is say, fish jump in the ship. It wasn't about fishing at all. So he says, nevertheless, we will let down the net, the anointed net. What a commitment, dear ones. Whatever you do in your individual life for Christ, whatever you do as a church for Christ Jesus, it must be built on a five-letter word. It begins with F and ends with H. And in the middle is I-T, A-I-T. We must do what we do in faith. Nevertheless, at thy word, the pathway of faith, dear ones, will lead to sure victory. You don't have to take my word for that. Take the word of the Almighty God. Don't let past things that hinder you from doing present things. In other words, Peter says, we fished last night and we caught no fishes. Nevertheless, we're willing to go again. It is a matter of turning ourselves over to Jesus Christ. If you go on the word of Almighty God in serving Him, then He will receive all the glory. And when things begin to happen in your individual life, He will receive all the glory. And when things begin to happen in Liberty Fellowship, He receives the glory. It's not a matter of, well, we've got a fine preacher down there, and boy, he's really hoeing the corn, and people are getting saved. It ain't about that. What we'll say is, just see what the Lord has done in our midst. See what the Lord has done. He will receive the glory, you see. And then we see Peter's commitment. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will drop down the net. It's no longer their net, or in this case, Simon's net. It is the anointed net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. You want satisfaction in your individual Christian life? You got to launch out into the deep. You got to go at the word of Jesus Christ. You can't let your past habits hinder you. You can't let the forms of well, we come in, we sing a congregation song. I'm not making light of what y'all do here. But so many times, hey, Stony Creek Baptist Church, let me, I'm no longer the pastor there as of 2 weeks ago, but let's just go there if you want to. Or let's go here. I'm preaching to you all. The Lord's preaching to you. We don't need to organize Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit out of our services. Just because John was scheduled to sing today, that doesn't mean that Mary Lou can't... Is there a Mary Lou here? That there's a Mary Lou can't come in and say, hey, I've got a song on my heart. Well, honey, just as soon as John sings, you jump up there and praise the Lord. You, the thing about it is, I left my bulletin at home, by the way. You read the bulletin and you say, but this congregation received the offering. And then the children go to children's church, and then we have the special singing, and then the choir sings, and then the preacher gets up and preaches. If we're not careful, we absolutely close out the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Launch out into the deep. Forget the forms. Forget the old habits. Forget the customs. And like every Baptist church ought to do, and Free Will Baptist Church also, forget the traditions. Traditions have ruined the cause of Jesus Christ in a lot of churches. These things must not be allowed to stand in the way of doing the will of the Lord. The psalmist again writes in 107, verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul. Is your soul longing to do his will? Is your soul longing to be led by the Holy Spirit? He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Goodness. And I'll promise you, if you're a hungry soul, and you're willing, and you have already said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do whatever you want me to that will honor you, dear Lord, you can rest assured that he will fill you with goodness, goodness, goodness. Follow Jesus, and I'll promise you on the word of, on the power of Almighty God, that he will satisfy your longing soul. Follow him. They were successful. Did I read that? Yes, I did. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net broke. Oh, thank you, sweet spirit. I was about to forget this. Oh, this is beautiful. Guess what time of the day it was? Well, was it daylight or dark? It was daylight. It was daylight because, after all, they had been out fishing all night long. and that you can't clean your nets in the dark. You clean your nets in the light. So what the point being is, they went fishing out of season. Last night they were in season and they were unsuccessful. Today they went out of season and they are successful. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ had anointed it. They were successful. All right, let's go on down. Now there's more to it. I haven't got to the other point of what the new inside have. A part of it I did. It wasn't about fishing for fish at all. It wasn't about that at all. Look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners. Now they got a multitude of fishes, and that they break, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When you individually, when you get down to business with the Lord, when you satisfy in your own heart, nevertheless, dear Lord, at thy word, I will do for your glory and for your honor. Your soul's ship is going to be so full that guess what? When you come into the house of God and when you sit down beside the one you sit beside that day, hey, hallelujah, the Spirit of God will begin to rub off on that one. And they'll know that you've been with the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. They'll know that you are doing a service for the Lord, and that's what it says. Hey, it went from one ship that they needed two ships to hold what Jesus Christ had performed, the miraculous thing that he had performed in their presence. Amen. I'm not normally a man of amens himself, but when we don't have any amens, I'm amen in Jesus Christ. I'm amen in the Word of God, because these are good truths, you see. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, what saw what? When he saw this multitude of catch. When he saw, oh my goodness gracious, I can see old Peter's eyes getting about that big. Boys, keep shoveling those fish over in the other ship. If you don't, we're going to all sink. And when they shoveled them over there and got them pretty well even, both ships were about to sink. What that tells us was they were lowered in the water because they had so much poundage of fish. Don't forget, it's not about fish. It's not about fish. But when Peter saw this miraculous thing of the Lord Jesus Christ, what an honest humiliation arose in Peter. When he saw this miraculous thing, the Bible says he fell down at the feet of Jesus and said, Jesus, go away from me because I am a sinful man. You need to get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Oh, the humiliation. See, old Simon, I can see him when he first came up to Jesus. I got time to preach about another 30 minutes? Say amen. Hey, when he first came up to Jesus Christ, he says, well, Lord says, we're fishermen and we know how to fish. You know Peter, don't you? He's around a bunch of dude. Y'all know that about his life? Oh, yeah, he's one. What did he do? Cut Malchus's ear off? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was just full of himself. But now, when he sees this miraculous thing happen, he recognizes his weakness in the eyes and around the glory of Jesus Christ. And it causes him to fall at the feet of Jesus and give praise and honor where it is rightfully so. You see, the thing about it is, when we fully see the effects of God's greatness and his goodness, when we realize that, what a change it will make, and it will cause us to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, oh Lord, I am weak. Oh Lord, I am a simple man. And that's all I am, a sinner saved by the grace of Almighty God. You are looking at a sinner. But inside me where you can't see, inside me where you can't see, is where the change has been made. These bars of bones, I know I said that this morning, I'm going to say it again. These bars of bones, one day, are going to, that hold my soul right now, the door of this flesh is going to open up, and I'm going to split the sky, the eastern skies, with either with Jesus Christ or without Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven, either in the rapture or not in the rapture. When I leave this old body, this old sin-cursed body, hallelujah, I'm going to be in the presence of Almighty God. I want to make sure that my life as well as I can, that my life has counted for Him and that He receives all of the glory. So Peter says, falls at His feet. And he says, oh Lord, let me just read it to you. He says, and he fell down at Jesus saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why did he do that? Because he was astonished. I'd like to come back before then, but I would like to be talking to my brother Dan sometime a few months down the road after spring breaks and all this, and for my brother Dan to say, Dave, you just won't believe what the Lord is doing at Liberty Fellowship. And I can't, and I'd love to hear him say, I'm just astonished. I'm astonished. In other words, I'm just overwhelmed at what Jesus is doing at Liberty Fellowship or any other church. I'm sure any pastor would love to say that. But he says, for it, Peter was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James, John, and the sons of Zebedee. Now they're the ones that owned the other ship, the ship that got the load off of Simon's ship, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, right here it is, boys, it ain't been about fish with gills. It's about the, oh hallelujah, it's about the souls of man. Yeah. I'm going to make you fishers of men. This lesson that you have learned here this day, Jesus said, this lesson that you've learned here this day is not about taking your, how to sling your net out, your physical net, and catch those physical fish. It's how to, glory to God, it's how to sling the net of the gospel out into the world and harvest fish, the souls of men. That's what it's all about. And that's why Jesus wants us to launch out into the deep. If we don't launch out into the deep, if we're saved again, born again, children of God, absolutely so. When we die, we're going to go to heaven. But the thing about it is, dear ones, we won't have any crowns to lay at the feet of Jesus Christ if we haven't been out soul winning. It's not up to you to drag them to the cross, but it is up to us to sow the seed. Peter says, oh, there's more to this message. Hang on. Peter says, Jesus said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ship to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. Now I'm going to read from the blessed word of God. I'm going to read how Paul felt about it. I want you to read with me if you have your Bibles. Turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. That's my breathing, by the way. Hallelujah. All right, now I want to, and I'm closing this message the way the Lord wants me to close this message. We're talking about complete consecration. Complete consecration to the point where we get to, we say, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word, I will do thy will. I did not necessarily want to leave Stony Creek Baptist Church. But some months ago, the Lord began to deal with me. Had it made up there. They didn't pressure me or anything like that. But the Lord began to deal with me and revealing to me there's something else. It may be that I'm just going to be a visiting preacher for the rest of my life. And I say glory to God in the highest. But you see, the thing about it is, dear ones, we must step out in faith. When we get the sight and we know without a doubt, we know that Jesus Christ is dealing with us, then we must take that step of faith. Now listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency. Is your life revealing the excellency of the knowledge of Christ? He goes on to say, of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul was a man of well-being. He was from a family that were well off as far as money goes, and he was a well-educated man. But that's what he's talking about here. He says, I gave up all of that for the excellency of just knowing Jesus Christ and the reality of Him living inside of me. And he goes on down and he says in verse 9, I beg your pardon, I'm about to leave off the last part of verse 8. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You mean Paul hadn't already won Christ? Christ was inside of him, you understand that. But when he's talking about winning Christ, he's talking about having all of Christ. In other words, and he'll go on down and say, now here's how you have all of Christ. Here's how you win Christ. I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. We must get rid of our own righteousness if we're going to win Jesus Christ. If we're going to have all of Christ, we must get rid of our own righteousness, he says, which is of the law. Of course, we know he was a Jew, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here we go, verse 10. That I may know Him. Know Him. You say, well, I know He's my Savior, but do you know Him? You know how you know Him? The way Paul is talking about knowing Him? By reading His Word. By meditating on the goodness of His Word, by spending time in prayer with Him. Paul says that I may know Him. And when I know Him, he says, that I may know the power of His resurrection, that I may know Jesus Christ, and that I may know all that I can know on this earth of God the Father. Because God the Father is the power that resurrected Jesus Christ. It is the power of God the Father that is going to resurrect you and me one of these days out of our grave if we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't belong to Jesus Christ, dear ones, I've got to hesitate here just a moment. There is the second resurrection. The second resurrection is the resurrection of the dead. Those who will be eternally separated from God Almighty. But he's talking about the power of the first resurrection, when our bodies will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump, where the trump shall sound, and this old corruptible must, hallelujah, must put on incorruption, and this old mortal must put on immortality, and forever to go to be with Jesus. Paul, that's what Paul is talking about here in the book of Philippians. It's not about catching fish, dear ones. It's about catching the souls of men and the power of His resurrection. I want to know also, Paul says, the fellowship of His suffering. The fellowship of His, in other words, a fellowship is, if you know anything about a fellowship, that's a group that has the same thing in common. Thank you, sweet spirit. The same thing in common. He says, I want to suffer. I want to suffer. And you say, well, that doesn't sound right. He knew that his Savior suffered. He knew that His Savior suffered on the cross, took the beatings for Him. Paul says, if that's what it comes down to, I am willing to take physical sufferings, and I am certainly selling myself out to take spiritual suffering. That is, when people cause me to suffer because I'm standing for Jesus Christ. I just want to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ, being made conformable unto His death. What does that mean, preacher? That means I want to crucify just as Jesus Christ was crucified until He was dead, dead, dead on the cross. Paul says, I want to be conformable to that. I want my flesh, hey, this will get us all, I want my flesh to be crucified daily, daily, daily crucified, crucifying my flesh, that I may know Him, know the power of His resurrection, know the fellowship of His sufferings, and that I may be made conformable. And then he closes verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Hallelujah. So, the next time you read Luke chapter 5, don't think about fishes. Think about fishes, the souls of men. May God bless you. Hallelujah. I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed being a servant of the Lord today and for Him to speak through me. That's the only way I can speak, is if I'm anointed of the Lord. I in myself am absolutely naught, nothing, nothing. But in Jesus Christ, I am a draft. I am everything. And I thank Him for allowing this opportunity to preach this message that He laid on my heart earlier in the week. May God bless you. I hope each and every one of us, first of all, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you know that, that you know that, that you know that, that you've had an experience with Him, then dear ones, it is my desire and my hope and my prayer that you individually will launch out into the deep. Launch out where the souls of men are in this world. Thank you, sweet spirit. I might preach again. Don't stay in the shallows of the church. Don't stay in the shallows of the church. Don't just come to church on Sunday morning and spend our hour and a half or two here at the church and go on Sunday night and spend our hour, hour and a half, according to who's preaching, on Sunday night and Wednesday night and spend our hour and stay in our little shallows. I love you all. You know that. Then stay in our little shallows. Let's launch out into the deep at His word. Because you see, had Peter and the boys gone out into the deep, and it hadn't been at His word, they absolutely, during the daytime, would not have caught anything for sure. Because you see, the thing about it is, the reason they fished at night, because those waters were real cool, and the fish would come up to the top, you see. And they'd throw the net out, and they'd rake them in. But don't forget who's in control of the fish. God bless you. Stand to your feet if you will.